Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, I'm Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And I think that's where it all comes out is what we're talking about today. And this is really the epitome and discussion of somebody who is walking and rolling, because we are going to talk about and discuss, debate, analyze the fact that July is Disability Pride Month. And so, Jennifer, what can you tell me and the world about what Disability Pride Month is?
Well, we both were curious and looking. You know, it's funny that we both have been living with multiple sclerosis for more than 2 decades, and some of our nearest and dearest friends have multiple sclerosis, but pride.
I mean, because that is, it opens the question of why we're even here is, are you, does it mean being proud of your disability? And so what can you tell me about that?
Pride is a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, the achievements of those whom one is associated with, or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. So one example would be Dan and Jennifer are bursting with pride for the airline accessibility that has passed, you know, the issue that you and I have been working on. Or pride, you know, you and I are super proud about the fact that we handle our disability well, or that we don't, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm proud as a disabled person just that I keep going, that I'm not buried in a blanket in a closet somewhere.
Mm-hmm. What I guess the question maybe is the definition of pride, and as a resident word nerd, I love that definition and the description of it. But why? What about Disability Pride Month? What is the purpose, and why is that even?
Well, Disability Pride Month is here to celebrate the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act in 1990. And we do that in the month of July because the ADA was passed in July, like I said, of 1990. So July is a logical month to celebrate just and to be proud of how disabled people have made our voices heard, and we have made things accessible. And, you know, Dan, it was funny. I was thinking about traveling, mm-hmm, and the idea of you and I traveling somewhere outside of our country. And I remember saying, oh, well, they have the ADA. Mm-hmm. And then I think about it. The ADA is the Americans with Disabilities Act. I'm like, no, they don't have the ADA in Canada, France, Mexico, because it's not the Americans. So something that we take for granted so long, I mean, good heavens, that's over 30 years since the ADA passed.
I mean, you talk about that in 1990, and that was, I mean, just the epitome of, you know, when you're talking like a bipartisan legislative issue. I mean, that was signed into law by George H.W. Bush. And I mean, just the way it opened up the world, or opened up the country for people who have disabilities. And I mean, it certainly, things are still adjusting. I mean, we've come a long way since then, but there's a lot of work left to do. But I think, you know, when we talk about going to Washington, D.C., in that time we had the opportunity and honor to tour the White House, and just a look on your face. And we'll have the picture on the liner notes for this podcast. It was the look of Jennifer's face when we were looking through photos in the White House and the picture of President Bush signing the ADA into law. And I think that's just, I mean, the way it opens things up and makes things more equal for people with disabilities. And so I get it from that standpoint, just in terms when we're talking about disability pride. And I think it's what a great way to celebrate, you know, truly that it's like a human rights issue, really.
It is, and it's something that children, you know, our friends' kids, they've always had the ADA and they're so used to it. And I can't really remember a time before the ADA where, you know, I was walking until I was diagnosed with MS in 97. I didn't lose my ability to walk. I didn't start relying on a wheelchair until 2002, and the ADA was 12 years old at that time. So I cannot imagine the struggle for a disabled person before the ADA. And I think that's something to be very proud of as an American, just how inclusive our society is. And gosh, you know, just to say that out loud, that's A, how old I am, and B, how old this damn disease is. But it's just, you know, that's fantastic. What about you? I mean, are you proud to be disabled? The Disability Pride Month.
I mean, this is where we you know, you've opened up the can of worms. There's like, you know, the clip from Friends was just like, you know, it was Chandler. It's like, you know, can open worms everywhere. And I think that's just because it is that's for me. It's like I have multiple sclerosis. And you know as well as I do, and I've talked about it here before, it's just like, do I see myself as having a disability? And, you know, my initial reaction is no, I don't have a disability. But is this reality? Could I go and apply and get a handicap plate, handicap sticker hanger for my car? I mean, and it's interesting. I mean, there's just so many things and avenues we can take that, but I don't have a visible disability. And I think that's what's beneficial about Disability Pride Month, is I think there is the notion that it is inclusive of disabilities, that we're talking people with visible and invisible disabilities. So I think on some levels it's possible. I have the potential that I can hide my disabilities, anything that I'm struggling with, for the most part, unless I'm naive. you laugh.
I it's an interesting question, and I don't want to put you on the spot. But what if you couldn't hide your disability? You know, I can't hide it. Everyone knows. And I think of, what is that movie? Oh, good heavens. Where the actress, beautiful actress, and it's an old movie, and she hides the fact that she can no longer walk. And just, there's a scene, my good heavens. And I can't hide, I mean, unless I'm sitting on a couch, which I no longer do. I can't hide the fact that I'm disabled. And you know, you're quick to talk about my invisible disability. What happens when it's not invisible? How will that, I mean, we've never talked about that, and I don't know if this is the appropriate place to
I suppose that's where things get, I mean, where it's like an honest conversation. And if we talk and it's not working, we can just scrap this and start over. But it's like, you know, those are things where, just to where it's, you know, it's hard for you because you can't hide from your disability. You know, you use a wheelchair, you can't stand on your own, you can't, you know, you can't walk. I can walk. And so then it's just like, you don't have to explain your disability. People see, people understand. Me, yes, I can hide it, But it's just like, but at the same time, does that put me at a disadvantage because I look able-bodied? So then I don't get any kind of, there's a lack of understanding. If I say I'm disabled, people say, you know, and that's where we get into the age-old debate or discussion about people questioning and needing you to validate and exemplify your my disability. So you know, on some levels, I say, oh, well, it'll become easier because then it's like, okay, then it's there. I'm bone, quote unquote, can I say bona fide? It's just like, I have a disability and there's no hiding in it and everyone sees it. But it's like, but then that's a disadvantage because then I am disabled and I no longer have the ability to conceal it.
That's
until I open my app in a podcast and then.
Well, that's tough. And I suppose as a person who's clearly disabled and who hasn't thought about those moments when you can see that your disease is worsening. And I remember going to a concert and using my handicap placard because I couldn't walk that long of a distance. But when I first started, I could walk just fine. But I felt like a little illegitimate.
Like a poser.
Yes. And so I walked with a little bit of a fake limp because I didn't want people to question me. And then I know by the end of the concert, I was clearly struggling to walk. And so that's a really, boy, that was a tough question I asked you, and I apologize for that.
Oh, no, because we're still talking about it. I didn't like cut us off and say, let's start over, dear. Why'd you even say that? Because then, you know, you talk about concerts and let's just rip off the Band-Aid and let people into our lives of what we deal with. And I will bring up, and you can say, oh, Dan, you shouldn't talk about that. But the whole Nate Bargatze concert last week, 2 weeks ago.
Yes, 2 weeks ago. Gosh, he was funny.
So, okay, here it is. And for everyone listening, but we were down. It was a Nate Bargatze comedy concert. It was so hilarious. He was so funny. It was down at Pine Knob in like the north end of Metro Detroit. Well, okay, the reality is I don't walk as well as I used to, and I you know, I stumble, I shuffle my feet, and so it's that. So we have our handicap accessible seats front in the amphitheater. I have to go to the bathroom. Oh, you see where I'm going with this?
Was thinking, what is that man talking about? I completely, yes, continue, please. Well, valid.
But it is valid. But I had to go to the bathroom. And if to picture this for everybody in listener land who doesn't know Pine Knob, there's like the main pavilion, and then it's an outdoor amphitheater, main concourse, the amphitheater, and then there's a hill where people sit. We're on the main concourse level. And on the main concourse, that's where all of your food vendors are, the beer, the drinks, the hot dogs, pretzels, whatever. And nestled in amongst that is the handicap bathroom. There are two separate bathrooms there for disabled people. The women's bathroom is on the main concourse. For the men's bathroom, you have to go and walk down a flight of stairs to go to the bathroom on the lower level of the hill. Go to the bathroom and then walk up the stairs again. And there are steep steps, and there's quite a few of them.
And this is the able-bodied men's bathroom.
Able-bodied men's bathroom. And so I have to go to the bathroom, and I'm just like, the thought of me trudging, because we'd already done a lot of walking to get from the parking lot to the amphitheater, to the pavilion, whatever. And I'm like, am I going to be able to walk down the flight of steps and walk back up the steps by myself? Because there's no handrails. that I recall. And so I turned to Jennifer, my
clearly disabled
wife in a wheelchair, and these are like family restrooms, two separate handicap accessible bathrooms. Jennifer doesn't have to go to the bathroom, but I'm like, hey, comma, love, why don't you come with me to the bathroom so that I can use the handicap restroom and no one will give me trouble that I don't have to question. I mean, to which my loving wife says, Dan, anybody who sees you walking will know that you have some kind of a disability. And it's like,
ouch, that was kind of rude of her.
No, I know she loves me. And she was just being point blank honest. I mean, because, yeah, it's just like, okay, well, because that's there. I mean, the numbers of times then when we're walking great distances and stuff that I like use your wheelchair as a support when I need it. And so I'm like, and it's at that point in time, I didn't feel like having to contest or debate or discuss anything with a person. I mean, obviously, if anyone ever questioned me on it, I feel it'd be a great teaching moment for people. But it's like we were at a concert. It was a comedy show. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with it. Jennifer, just come with me, please. And you did.
I did.
But it is. It's just like those things where how much, you know, you is like I'm able to hide the disability, because then for anybody who sees us going into the family restroom, you're in a wheelchair. No one's going to question that because I'm a loving caregiver helping my wife in a wheelchair. Never anyone suspecting what a lovely wife in a wheelchair who's there to support her husband with the invisible disability. Nobody, because that's just stuff people don't talk about. People don't see. And it's like, wow. Am I doing a disservice for the invisible disability community that I didn't just brave it myself? But it's like, I have no documentation that says I have an invisible disability. And I'm just like, I just don't want to deal with it.
And you know that people listening to this quite possibly are saying, why do you have to prove? If you want to use the handicap bathroom, use the handicap bathroom. And I get them, but I see your side of it. And I'm thinking, we have a number of friends who also have, quote unquote, invisible disabilities, who are living with this disease, who look like they're walking fantastic 75-80% of the time. But in those moments, would someone say, oh, why are you using this bathroom? Which I think you stop being judgmental, people out there. And if somebody wants to use the handicap bathroom and it's not hurting you, you don't need to say anything. Oh, gosh.
Well, but here we go. We're talking like truth serum and like moments of reality. But then I present to you, Mrs. Digman.
Yes.
I feel like we're in a court case or something. But it's just like, but then think about us. When we're traveling, you're at an airport.
Oh, I'm the most judgmental person.
And me too. But if we're at an airport, we go to the family restroom that's reserved for elderly, family, and people with disabilities, and we have to wait because somebody's in the bathroom, and that's fine. That's fine. You're dealing with it. But, you know, but so help me God, every time somebody that comes out of there single as a person, no assistive device, walking perfectly. Don't judge lest ye be judged.
I mean, that's the truth. But you know, and I'm fully admitting that I have only once have I ever said something to someone, and it was more I was too cowardly to say something directly to them, but as they strolled away, I like said something quite loud about, oh, thanks for, you know, whatever obnoxiousness I could say. So I get you.
Well, because then it's like, had I used the handicap bathroom at Pine Knob and walked out and there was somebody sitting there with a walker or a wheelchair or a visible disability, I would have, you know, how could I have contested or explained that away? And would I have to explain? No. But at the same time, it's just reality. Could I have walked down the steps to get to the bathroom down below? Sure. Would it have been ugly? Did I risk falling, going down
yeah,
the steps?
Yeah, that would be bad.
To which I would just, you know, then we probably would own Pine Knob because it was going to suit them. But, it, you know, but those are the things that, you know, when you're living with an invisible disability or anything like that, it just opens yourself up to so many challenges. And I mean, you know, it's the reality. Had you not been there with me, you know, the reality is I would have sucked it up and walked down the steps to get to the down below bathroom, because at that time I wasn't there. I would not be there as a caregiver that I knew I would need to maintain myself and my health and everything, because I need to be your caregiver and you depend on me to help you.
So I would say to people listening to this conversation, did Dan do the right thing? Did I do the right thing? Have you been in that situation? I mean, and let's be, I want to, you and I, we take a lot of personal responsibility of our fluid intake. And we were at a comedy show and they had beer. And Dan, you did not drink.
Oh, I wanted a beer, something fierce.
And but you knew, like, you need to control your amount of liquids. And Nate was funny. You didn't need any liquid to help you giggle or have a
My
good time.
My stomach hurt so bad.
But you monitored your fluid intake because you didn't want that excuse or that experience of going to the bathroom. So any of you out there listening, do you have similar instances or similar experiences? Because if you do, I think Dan and I would love to hear how you weigh in on this issue, because it is, you were in a real pickle and I was kind of not a lot of help,
you were my accomplice. You were there. You were an accessory to the crime. I mean, but
there was no crime.
I realized there was no crime.
And, that's the whole Disability Pride Month. In the future, I hope that you will use the bathroom that you need and you will walk out and say, this is me and this is what I need, and don't you judge not, lest you be judged, you know.
Exactly. Well, and that's just it. So let us know. I mean, email us your experiences, your thoughts. If, you know, did I do the right thing? What experiences you had? Email us. Our email is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com, or just message us through our website is acoupletakesonms.com. Wow. And so, I mean, really, that you know, all of a sudden we kind of got distracted from the topic of Disability Pride Month in July. But I think these are conversations to have, just in terms when we're talking about disability, invisible disabilities. And, you know, I think from that standpoint, yeah, I am proud. I'm proud of what we do, what you do in the face of having a disability, you know, visible, invisible. I mean, just because, and there's so many different kinds of disabilities. I mean, there's, you know, just everything that comes with having disability. I think
when I personally think of pride, you know, I'm proud because, oh good heavens, I'm, you know, any number of things that you can be proud of. I'm proud that, you know, that we're activists, and I'm proud that we, you know, that we're good people, or, you know, the whole disability thing. I didn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a choice. So the pride, I suppose, comes from the fact that how we live. I'm proud that we took this really crappy disease and we tried to turn it into a good experience. We go to Washington, D.C. and advocate on behalf of other people living with MS or people with disabilities. Or we go down to the state capitol here in Michigan and we advocate for that. Or we're support group leaders to help people deal with this disease. Or I go to AnCan MS and I moderate so that people can talk about their experience with multiple sclerosis. So I suppose in that way, I am proud. I'm proud of how I live as a disabled person. And I try to help other people realize. And I hope you, Dan, you know, we can be proud of the fact that we are both living with MS and we have disabilities and nothing to hide.
And exactly. And I think that's, you know, I had written an article about it and I don't know where it is anymore. But it is just talking about when applying for a job and you do like the survey and everything about yourself. I mean, it's all like voluntary information about yourself. When it said, you know, the question is, do you have a disability? And, you know, when I, you know, was applying for jobs, you know, several years ago, and I was like, well, I don't have a disability, but I looked at their thing, at their explanation of what having disability is. And it's like, you have a disability if you have, and they listed off all these conditions and diseases, and multiple sclerosis is included in there as having a disability. So it's just like, by default, do I have a disability? And, you know, and that I have documentation that says, you know, I'm living with it. So, yeah, I'm just very proud. I mean, when you talk about advocacy, and we'll have a link then about like what happened with our advocacy efforts with so many other activists nationwide in terms of like what came down with, the decision on the FAA reauthorization for disabled people. And that's
huge because, you know, one piece of it is just to treat equipment like our power chairs, our walkers, our scooters, to treat it more carefully, the airlines, to handle them more carefully, and to be knowledgeable about how they transfer disabled people into their airplane seats. And so all of this FAA reauthorization in 2024, a lot of that, I think there were a lot of disabled voices that went into making this reauthorization that much more conscious of people living with disabilities who want to fly like anyone else, and they want to have safe travels and have their things taken care of.
And well, exactly. And I think, and we'll have links to that in our liner notes for this. And so I think it is just like Disability Pride Month. And this is great because it just gives us all a platform, a place, and a reason to talk about life with a disability. And
I always joke that when I die on my headstone, it's going to say, sorry, I'm late, because I'm always late. That's just, I'm living with MS. I always have to go to the bathroom at least one more time before I leave. So I'm always late, and Disability Pride Month is the month of July, and we're doing this early. We're at the end of June, and I want to say kudos because you're part of this package deal of we're always late. You know, just we're always squeezing in under the belt. So,
and we'll have
good
this.
Job. We're on time and we're early. So,
well done, Team Wakeman.
So, we'll have the month of July to celebrate Disability Pride.
And I think that's where, you know, and obviously I'm open about it. I mean, if all a person would have to do is just like look and see the articles we write and the podcasts we host. And so, I don't want to say, I think everybody. A lot of people I work with at Ruffalo, Noah Levitz, know I have MS, know our situation. And this is where I'm excited that we actually are going to present to the company for Disability Pride Month about not only multiple sclerosis and living with a disability, but then also encouraging other people, you know, just to always bet on themselves in life and what they're doing. So I'm excited about that. Again, it's just, it's one of those things where I'm very proud of the fact of who we are as two people living with multiple sclerosis and a disability, an invisible disability that,
And I would be remiss if I didn't say that, yes, both you and I are living with, mine's visible, yours is invisible, But if there's 100% of Dan Digman or 100% of Jennifer Digman, disability is a scant percentage of either one of us. There's so much more to our personhood than our ability or disability. And so I think that's one of the important things about Disability Pride Month, is just to remember that you're more than, or you control how much disability you want to focus on.
And that's exactly it, because I don't want to focus on disability. I want to focus on living and doing what we do. And then OPBTW, we also are living with MS, also living with a disability. I mean, some of the stuff that we do is because of MS or because of the disability, but it's like, it's just a small fraction. I wear glasses, you wear glasses, but how often do we talk about them unless we're having a conversation about wearing glasses? And we're talking about it here with MS and disability because it's a Couple Takes on MS podcast. So, of course, we're going to talk about disability and multiple sclerosis. So, we wish everybody the best of July as Disability Pride Month. And let us know what your experiences are. And you know, do you observe, do you think about anything as far as July being Disability Pride Month? And what experiences have you had when in living with a visible or invisible disability in terms of educating people? And did I do the right thing having Jennifer escort me to the family bathroom?
I think so. And did I do the right thing in like calling you out on our podcast live? And I think so. And if we didn't, bless our podcast producer, he may just cut the heck out of this and say, but I think this has been a really good conversation and valuable. And I hope that people can learn a lot and think. I mean, I know I have been sitting here just thinking about your words and your experience. So thank you. It's been very valuable.
Well, thank you, and thanks for asking the questions. Thanks for having this conversation, and thank you all for listening to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS podcast. We've enjoyed it, and so please check in with us. On our email is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com, or our website is acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter, our handle is coupletakesonms. And until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling. But together, we are moving forward.
Take care.